This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey. Call the cops.
This level of foolishness and joy.
Losers, in other words.
Hey.
Now watch this drive.
Raiders!
Hey. Damn it.
Shisha.
Sicario.
Bruce fucking Springsteen.
Damn it. Hey.
Yeah, people
hey.
Are gonna die.
I wanna see
baby. There's. I have to apologize. Let me just take control of this. This is exactly what's on the card. I will take responsibility for this. It was
like
my
a worship
mistake.
Set.
It was on the card.
In Jesus'
Horrible
name.
Horrible mistake, but the right thing, I can show it to you right here. The first runner-up is Columbia. It is my mistake.
The crowd had, like, no idea what to do with this information. People are all over the place, you know? They're like, whoa, yeah!
It was very spotlight, or not spotlight, Moonlight La La Land. Very mm-hmm. Moonlight La La Land.
Mm-hmm.
That was Mr. Steve Harvey.
We won't forget, Steve.
We'll never forget.
You think you can live this one down?
But it's the funniest person imaginable that it could happen to. Like, if that happened to Ryan Seacrest, you'd be like, oh, that sucks. But the idea that Steve Harvey would be like,
Yeah. It's kind of like the lack of polish. And also, you're like, is Steve Harvey being silly right now? Is he making a joke?
Oh, because people
signature
are
charm.
Tittering in the
yeah,
audience.
People are laughing.
I should say tittering more often. People are tee-hee-hee.
Note to self.
But no tee-hee-hee, because he did say the wrong winner for the, I think it's the 2015 Miss America, or Miss, not Miss America, Miss World, Miss Universe, whatever it is. Yeah. Columbia for Miss America. Stupid, Kevin. Welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
I'm Caroline.
We're to have good Christian fun. We have a new character to try out on you.
Okay.
Was workshopping this the other day.
Wait.
Yeah.
Before you start,
mm-hmm.
I would hate for you to squander this
mm-hmm.
OnlyFans content
on an
unpaid channel.
They're going to get a different character.
Okay. Oh.
No, don't worry.
Okay. Oh, they're going to get a different character.
I don't want to kill this Prez no more.
Steve Harvey Oswald.
That's right. Steve Harvey Oswald. And that's that is the sort of
I don't want to kill this prisoner.
The creative work, the sort of insight, the sort of he got his essence, even though he's not doing a technically most accurate impression. That's gonna put me in the leagues with all of our friends, with James Austin Johnson,
huge,
with Ego,
yeah,
with other people in that cast. That's what's going to get me side by side with them.
You know, SNL casting agents are always listening in on this show.
Well, I talk to them all the time because we're in the same field.
Oh, and by field, you mean Central Park out in New York City?
Okay, no, I'm always saying, like, can we get Mari? Like, Mario's got a new game coming out this week. We'd love to do, like, even if it's just, like, a cameo or a pre-tape with him, if you don't want him hosting the full show.
I didn't realize that you had transitioned from casting to PR as well.
Yeah, well, what is PR if not casting persevering? Casting in all different corners of life.
Casting vision.
Caroline, life is casting.
Life is casting.
When you're dating, you're casting the role of my partner. When you're having a baby, you're casting the role of my child.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes hey, you can't take that one back to central casting, nor should you.
Every time I go to the grocery store, I am filling my roster with all-star A-list winners.
You're building an ensemble in your fridge, you know? And there's going to be a little title sequence at the end.
Yeah.
The vegetables, the produce.
Special thanks to...
Eggs.
Ziploc.
No, but no, I'm just being a little bit cheeky. I'm not actually working.
Silly.
No, I'm not actually working in casting anymore. But I'm still working in podcasting. I am working in casting.
Another kind of casting. Yes, and isn't that interesting?
Episode 288.
Here we are.
Of our podcast. And isn't that interesting?
Keep coming back for stuff like this.
That's right. Well, you know, peaks and valleys. I should look at like when our finest episodes were, and I am talking about at the turn of the pandemic.
You think there was a golden era
in 2020? There was a golden era where everyone got real comfy with, you go first. I'm scrolling past people we couldn't ever have on the show again due to their public improprieties and disgraces. But yes, so we hit the pandemic. Our first pandemic episode was March 25th, 2020. That was 125. That was episode 125 of the show. So from that to, you know, when is our first in-person with a guest episode after that? It's not that one. It's not that one. Woo! 184. So wow. From 125 to 184, that's the good stuff.
That's what we called the sweet spot.
That's what you want. That's what you want to hear. That's what you want to get into. Mm-hmm. That's what you want to listen to.
Well, yeah, when someone says, where should I start with GCF? Say, actually, go to like June 2020. Kevin and Caroline are at the top of their game. They're feeling good. They're thinking good. They're
speaking
good.
That's right. Yeah, June 2020. I still believe with Matt Apodaca. That was a fun episode.
That was fun. We still had fun, honestly.
Honestly, we still had fun.
We did. Yeah. It was a highlight. Kept me together.
The pandemic or during the pandemic?
Oh, yeah.
I guess so. Because there was like there was just a crumb of purpose of like, well, you do have to get the thing on. And
yeah. My job was dumb and they were like trying to get me back in office all the time.
Those pathetic little pictures that you took of me like waving at you from your balcony. I'm like, hello, excited to record with you.
And then we did our park records. Those were fun.
The park records were fun.
Let's bring those back.
Actually, man, do I miss the pandemic?
Wait a second.
We used to do the thing too where, I don't know why, and we figured it the fuck out with uploading and stuff. We would do the memory card thing. Bring it over. Go back. Go forward.
Oh,
there
yeah.
was one night where we missed
me
each
like
other.
5 hours to upload. We missed each other. That's right.
That one didn't feel good.
That was crazy.
But gracious. A lot of gold. A lot of gold in those hills. A lot of love. For that time in our lives, a lot of affection.
A lot of grandstanding. A lot of soapboxing.
Oh, yeah. That's when I had my best takes. Yeah. Because since then, like, I decided to, you know that phrase, detach with love? Have you heard that? When it's like, when like a relationship or friendship dissolves.
Sure.
Or you're trying to make it work. There's a way to detach with love where it's like you're going to be
a
apart.
Good breakup.
But you can do it in a way that's respectful without bitterness, etc. Mm-hmm. I detach with love from caring about most things. Or having an opinion about a lot of them. I tripled down on the things that I did.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I was like, laissez-faire, c'est la vie, blah, blah, blah.
You kind of pick your horses that you're going to work on, you're going to ride, and then you're going
to And Amy Grant told us that in her interview with us. She was like, you know, it's like Sheryl Crow said to me, you got to pick your horses that you ride on.
You know, Barack Obama, one time we were having dinner, and he said, just do what you love. And that's why I'm still here.
You know, I was hanging out with Taylor Swift, 50 Cent, Matt LeBlanc.
50 Cent. Lena Dunham.
Hey, Lena Dunham. And Herman Cain. Hey, we're going round robin, just talking about our highs and lows. And one of them said, you know, enjoy every minute. And I've kept that with me ever since.
she's so true. You know, one time. God, I love the guy. I know I shouldn't, but I love him. And we've had a lot of great walks together. Dick Cheney said to me, the heart is what matters. And from him, that Dick meant Cheney. A lot.
Yeah. If Dick Cheney looked at me and said, the heart is what matters, I would take that to the grave with me.
I would listen.
I would absolutely listen up. Oh, goodness. And we're listening to some music this week. We're doing Singles Ministry. We're talking about A Little More. A Little More by Jennifer Knapp. The disgraced Jennifer Knapp. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Only disgraced by some. She's one of us now. We could probably Exiled have her on the show. Jennifer Knapp, her single from her second album from back in the day. But before that, we're going to check in with each other's hearts. How much do you feel Christianity or the ideas of religion actually had to do in Mission Impossible 7? A movie in, at one point, Ethan says, I'm going to kill your God.
Whoa. Okay, so you're asking me in the story content of the movie or the behind the scenes production leadership level, how much Christianity figured in?
Oh, you're saying like, is McQuarrie and Cruise and Ferguson like doing a prayer circle in
Well,
Rome
obviously
or
not Cruise, but you know, McQuarrie might be on manifest. You guys go ahead.
Yeah.
I got to do some, I'm going to go levitate over here.
I'm going to go in a box and none of you are going to know what I'm doing today.
I'm going to go to my sweatbox.
Yeah.
It's what it sounds like.
Was there Christian leadership? Ving Rhames is a Christian. Ving Rhames made a faith-based film.
Oh, yeah?
Back in like 2008 or 2009, yeah. So there's something there.
Church, we have the... Help me out here.
With Ving?
Yeah. Instead of we have the meats, we have the...
Who will call him Ving of Vings?
Okay, that's better. Okay. I was hoping you'd do it in his voice.
Ethan... You have to get in line and take the little bread and dip it in the cup. It's called communion, Ethan.
A little bit Adam Driver, but I liked it.
I'm doing Adam Driver?
But I liked it.
Ethan, that's Adam Driver,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm.
The key in the movie is a crucifix or is a Scientology symbol.
Whoa.
This is sort of the MacGuffin with no spoilers for the movie. The MacGuffin is a sort of religious looking thing. It's a key. Okay, Caroline's got to look
I've
on her face.
I've got my
saying,
thinking fingers.
I'm
up.
Going to the galaxy of my brain.
But I'm thinking right now.
Uh huh.
What does the movie start with?
Submarine.
Who loved maritime activities?
Oh, I thought you were going to say who loved subs, and it was going to be Jared from Subway.
We'll get to him.
We will get to him. Because he is my current lock screen.
Is that to help you not look at your phone more? Are you trying to limit screen time?
No, it's just to never
so
forget.
You associate. Never forget two things.
Yeah, two things I never want to forget. But anyway, yes, it starts with, okay, maritime. Sea.
Was not the Sea Org central.
Hmm.
And it remains central. To the Church of Scientology.
Yeah, and there is a little bit of, we could actually do this, where it's like,
let's do this.
There's a little bit of dialogue about, you know, the sort of, to put in a religious space, the sort of language we take for granted in every single of the movies and in the TV shows. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, everyone knows that,
right.
And this message will self-destruct. So the thing they seize on in this one is, your mission, if you choose to accept it, they make it a choice, and the backstory is, everyone had a choice to be a part of this or not.
Right.
And there is sort of opt-in language that's not adjacent to Scientology stuff, belonging to groups like that, things of that nature.
As well, I would
and
say.
Commitment things. Yes, of course.
But the thing too, and I don't think they even realized they did this, is for all of them, yes, they had a choice, but they kind of didn't have a choice also.
Mm-hmm.
The choice was either join IMF or... be on the lam the rest of your life and probably be incarcerated very soon.
Are you defining Calvinism as a concept?
Well, have you heard of it?
Yeah, I have. The idea of like, it's your choice, but you don't really have a choice.
Right.
You're
and like, what are you going to choose?
Vessel of that.
Mm-hmm.
Vessel of these, vessel of those. I could see that, certainly.
Well, and also, actually, the IMF is probably perfectly aligned with Tom Cruise's ideals as well, because a huge part of the Church of Scientology is SPs in your life.
Suppressive persons.
And when you choose to ascend the levels of Scientology, quite often you have to cut out family members of your from your life who are not believers or who question you.
Yeah, and I guess every movie has started to start with him being haunted in a bunker with no humans around him.
No one.
No connections, family, or love to speak of. Uh-huh.
Didn't he at one point actually like try to audition Hayley Atwell for his new girlfriend? His real-life girlfriend?
For his real-life girlfriend?
Quote-unquote real-life girlfriend.
There was like a little item about it during the when they were filming it for 3 years, you know, 3 years ago, whenever it was. They were like, they're dating, or maybe they're not. Like, it was a little muddled.
Yeah.
It was one of those things where I just didn't want to look into it. So
well, and you weren't hearing anything on the casting agent underground grapevine or anything like that?
We have a code. And right. The code is all business. If it intersects with a part of my business, if they're like, we want Hayley for Princess Peach's sister Daisy in the next one.
Right.
That would be a conversation.
Then we would like, come to the table.
Because then it's like, well, she needs permission from, you know, her now boyfriend to do that in case it like vilifies the church in some way. Or if Bowser's like L. Ron Bowser in the new one.
And they have to fight the sea porg.
Yeah, something like that. So no, it's all about
otherwise, it's kind of a very like mind your own business.
That's absolutely
mentality
right.
in your field. Okay.
Yeah. We have honor. Mm. We take vows and oaths when you become a part of the siblinghood of the casting people. The siblinghood of the casting people. We don't travel. We all work from home.
Got it. Yeah.
The work from home siblinghood of the casting people.
Nothing stronger than those bonds.
That's right.
Well, keep me posted.
I will.
If Hayley ever does get cast.
Any
as
other
his girlfriend.
Religious stuff that we could like kind of pick out from the movie?
Truth, you know, where is the truth? Mm-hmm. The truth is coming from the source code, the original artifact.
Sacrificial love. At one point, Mr. Hunt does say, I can't promise I'll always successfully protect you, but I can promise you that your life will always be more important to me than my own.
Wow.
And am I going to put that on my wedding vows?
Maybe.
I was having a long conversation today about wedding vows.
Yeah, what are you deciding about your wedding vows?
What am I deciding? Well, yeah. I don't want to decide anything because if I do now, then whoever it would be, it'll just feel plug and play in a way that wouldn't feel good.
Right, you want it to be special like, to the day.
Blah, 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 Sheila. Blah, 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 blah. And her name will be Sheila.
But, yeah, the one thing that's for sure is Sheila.
Yeah, that's the thing that's not plug and play. No, I have to marry a woman named Sheila. I already wrote it down. I was talking to a friend of mine who went to a wedding recently who said, because I was just like, how's the wedding? How was your weekend? And she said, it was mediocre. The vows were mid. It was, I can't believe I get to marry my best friend, core.
Okay.
It was that sort of thing.
All right. Greeting card ass vows.
Yeah. Like, and I always promise to like say sorry, even if I, you know, like that sort of shit.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I go back and forth on that because, yes, maybe it's a bit cliche, but also, what am I going to do with an overly verbose, contrived, overwritten vows, also? You know, like I've had vows that were a little too unique.
Tell me about those.
Where I'm kind of like,
and this isn't for your own marriages. This is for weddings you attended?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I kind of like some stock vows.
Well, I would rather no vows or good vows, not stock vows.
You wouldn't do stock to have and to hold in this day forward?
No. Oh, if that's what you mean by stock vows.
Yeah.
I mean, either don't write your own vows or write good vows.
Or write good vows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, to have and to suck and to fuck, to slap and to fap. Like
jerk and to jank.
Wait a minute, I gotta write this shit down.
Wait. Oh, thank God we're recording this.
To spank and to yank. Hi, Kevin. Take the... take the Christine Baranski. To spank and to thank.
Thank.
To jerk and to squirt. To have and to hold. Mm. But you're saying you would rather some, you're the moon, you're the stars.
Yeah.
You're my little candy bars.
You're my little candy bars.
Whatever.
You're a candy bar's named Mars. They're not for me, you know? Like, I know that the...
But you're there.
It's set up as an audience performance kind of scenario. Mm-hmm. That is the aesthetic of the layout. But the vows aren't for me. They're not for the audience.
No, no.
They're for the couple.
But you could make that... I think that argument, if you zoom out to it, it's like the wedding's not for you, so why are you there? Do you know what I mean? So it's like...
You're there for cake, dancing, and to maybe get a half a second with the couple where you're like, congratulations. There's like, thank you for being here. And then you move on, you know?
But then, like, why wear a nice dress? Why wear, like, I'm saying, like, the performative nature of it.
You're saying it's all performance, so you need to give them a production.
I'm saying it's ceremony and ritual, so why not put a little jazz on top? But it's ceremony and ritual, so...
Yeah, so like if the ritual is being performed, what does it matter, you know?
The and quality I feel
like
of it?
The vows, too, are the vows they make literally to each other. Like, I understand, you know, the dinner and the flowers and the look of the thing. That is for the guests, yes. Mm-hmm. The vows are almost the one thing in the wedding that is just between those two.
That's interesting because it is them face to face doing the thing to each other.
And if that's like the things they want to say to each other, it's probably similar to the things they say to each other when they're doing pillow talk, when they're writing texts, you know? So like, and that stuff is just mostly cringe. Like that's for no one's ears.
You're the Mickey to my Minnie.
Unfortunately.
The Force to my Jimmy.
The Jim to my Pan is like
the Jim to my Pan. I guess you don't want to be the Force of someone's Jenny because that doesn't actually go well.
Right, yeah. Don't say you're going to be the Force of someone's Jenny.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm like, yeah, they can be mid. They're not here to entertain
I mean,
me.
They can be, but I'm not going to say, stop the wedding. These are too mid.
It should be illegal for you to have mid vows.
Well, it's just, you know.
Listen, I would love for everything at a wedding to be a 10 out of 10.
Right. But you are saying you don't like overly written vows. So,
because then it feels like that is for me. And I'm like, don't do this.
But it's all for you.
It's for you guys.
But it's not. I
So when you go to a wedding, you're like, a day for Kevin.
Kind of. Kind of.
Finally, someone does it for this guy. Someone's looking out for old Porter.
But that's why I was invited, is they wanted to share their love. Like there was a, there's a sort of cheat out aspect to it.
Ah, the day they came and they said, come share my love, Kevin.
Wow, this is a great day of my life.
Finally, my big day.
I know what you're saying. You're not wrong. I fully...
The party is for the guests.
Uh-huh.
Everything else, or just those moments, you know, like, sure, the guests get a piece of it, but it's not really for them.
Then why do it at all?
Why do it at all? Why do it at all?
Yeah. I guess I'm saying, like, I'm not trying to get into why do anything? Does nothing mean anything? I think I'm saying there is inherent artifice to the setup. And, like, for you guys, like, you and your husband were married before the set, you know.
Yeah.
The license and everything.
Yeah.
So already it's a little, like, theatrical
in
nature.
Sure, sure, sure.
So...
But when you're writing your vows, you're not thinking, ooh, I really hope Kevin gets a laugh out of this one.
Well, you should be. And maybe your wedding.
All right, I can't help you.
Would
this
be a little
is
bit
your perspective.
I'm not saying you should be like those couples who are trying to get on your FYP page, that are trying to get into your TikTok, and like they want to be like little...
Yeah.
Like love influencers.
If you
want
to write a really great declaration of love and it's so good, you want everyone to hear it, like go for it, you know?
Yeah.
But I feel protective of the mid vows couple.
I don't feel protective of them.
You think they should have tomatoes thrown at them?
I think just like.
This show sucks. Letterbox, 2 stars.
I did go to a wedding where they talked about how much they love seeing Marvel movies with each other. But no, I wouldn't. I mean, I have thought about how fun it would be to have like a wedding rating service. Where it's like you can like, or put it on like thenot.com/whatever the names are, and then reviews.
Yeah, on everyone's wedding website, there should be a reviews section they send out after.
And if there were, then the wedding planner could learn from that for the next couple.
I feel like that's at least like maybe 40 to 50% of the fun for me of going to a wedding is getting to judge.
That's what I'm saying. Right? So that's why I'm like, I appreciate your protectiveness, but I don't know why we're not more aligned here.
Listen, I'm personally judging the mid-vows for sure.
Yeah.
I'm rewriting them.
Yeah.
But I don't think they owe it to me, you know?
Well, I'm not saying they owe it to me.
You kind of are.
I'm just saying it would be nice. I'm just saying have the wherewithal to understand that.
Have some showmanship.
Well, you're just wasting time if you're not doing to suck and to fuck, to nut and to slut. Like, just do that. Just do that.
I didn't think of it that way. I think you're right. I changed my mind.
You did?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
If you're not saying either to have and to hold or to suck or to fuck, mm-hmm. go home.
Yeah. Yeah. It's either that, but nothing that's literally mid.
All right. Any couples out there, take note.
As a part of this conversation I was having earlier today, I was like, wait, there was this one wedding where it like made me cry so much and it was just so delicately written. I was like, I want to know what they said. I did a semi-psychotic thing and I said, hey, reached out to a friend of mine. I was like, the friend
you
of
asked them for their vows?
Mm-hmm.
Aw.
And she sent them and I was right.
They were good.
Bangers top to bottom.
We can't all be writers.
All, and she is a writer, so she that's a part of it.
Yeah.
But I was, you know, maybe people should, how do I get this?
Hire writers is what you're saying?
Oh, yeah. Well, people do. People do hire writers.
Kevin is saying, cross the picket line, book a writer.
No, it's
for your
not
wedding
a WGA.
Because it's Kevin's day, and if he's going to show up in here, you're my favorite Cheez-It or whatever, he's going to throw up and walk
wait,
out.
No. Hey, hold up. I'm interested in you're my favorite Cheez-It. Like, not like the shitty Cheez-Its. They all look and taste the same.
I promise I will always share my Cheez-Its.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that.
So like.
But that's for them.
I know sometimes we get a little mad, and you love Taylor Swift, or so, you know, it's just like little indicators of we. I'm trying to think of even what the commonalities are in the ones that I've seen, because most people do greatest hits. I'm being too harsh and too discriminating about it.
No, that's what I love about you.
But it's my discriminating tendencies.
Yeah.
Towards the mid.
Uh-huh.
Magic Kingdom Wedding streaming on Disney Plus now, unless they took it down. Which they might have, because Twitch hosted it, which is sad.
Oh, yeah. No.
He was hosting it with his wife. Oh. But that aside, there are some phenomenal weddings out there. There is a woman who says life without you would be like Mickey without Minnie.
Oh, wow.
To which, if you think about it for 5 seconds, it's like, yeah. So it would be totally fine.
I play Mickey solo a lot of the time.
It's mostly just Mickey. It's not like Abbott and Costello or Laurel and Hardy.
You should have said
Garfunkel.
Chip and Dale.
Yes.
That's a pair that's always together.
That's the better one.
Yeah.
That would have been like Goofy without Max. It's like he's mostly without Max.
Right. That's such a good point.
So, anyway.
Kevin is here if you guys need your vows punched up.
I'll do a punch up.
He'll do it.
DM me. I'll punch your vows up.
He'll run them through ChatGPT.
No, I would not do that. I would do, if you want to punch it though, like... You don't even have to write them yet. I'll do a 20-minute Zoom call with the couple.
Wow.
Get to know you guys. And then I'll consult with each of them individually. Dang. And then say, what do you want to highlight about the other person? Mm-hmm. And we can do it that way.
Whoa.
And I'll make
sure. That's an OnlyFans right there.
That is an OnlyFans.
$20.
Only vows. All right. Now we're talking.
Time one to, and only fans.
To juice the subscribers.
Here we go.
The subscription base. Your heart okay before we get back? We're midsummer. Speaking of mid, we're mid-year.
It's Omar.
Yeah.
Yeah, July is kicking my butt.
Yeah?
I'm booked and busy. More than I like to be.
I feel the same way.
I feel like I need a break.
Yeah?
But there's too many fun things to
when
do.
When do you get one? When do you get like...
Next week.
3 nights in a row without nothing?
Next week, nothing. Probably.
Okay.
Without nothing.
Yeah.
I go, no nights without nothing.
Okay.
What about you? Are you feeling a little too booked?
Yeah. Well, you know, I am trying to listen to my body for all the wondrous things it's telling me each and every day. I'm like, not right now. Daddy's working. Uh-huh. And I am the father to my body. That's how I
right.
think about it.
Father, son.
Because of the summer, I haven't done this since college, but I thought to myself, you know what? I should try it. And I tried to go for a run at like 1 p.m. in the afternoon.
Are you insane?
When it was 92 degrees outside. Because I was already dressed for it, and I had sunglasses. Oh, I'll just wear sunglasses and a hat.
I was hoping I'd get to meet some firefighters today.
Well, I did that, and didn't do the usual circuit or whatever. Did significant less, and I got back, and I was like, uh-oh. I was dehydrated the rest of the day.
Oh, my God.
I had a headache the rest of the day.
Oh, no.
I was supposed to go to a birthday party that I could not go to because I was like, I can't. It's not going to work. And I did have a personal training session earlier that week.
Mm-hmm.
And I was learning all these new things. I was still 2 or 3 days out from that, sore as hell and could barely move.
Dang.
So then I ran, and then the dehydration combined with it. But, you know, 2023, we just got to keep moving. Keep moving. Keep going.
Your lesson for that was like, should have kept going anyway. So you're listening to
with
your body,
wisdom.
Taking a break.
Yeah.
Taking a moment when it's hurting.
Not trying to overexert, but it just feels good like, you know, like a snowball down the hill to keep the momentum going in all these ways in our life. And we do this all the time, don't we? There's momentum. There's drive. There's things that we need to get accomplished and get done. Are you doing Lord of the Rings? You're doing the Fellowship theme?
That's what came to mind.
Oh,
I hurt my leg, you know, and it was hard to stop like doing normal things for a while, but I really had to because it was getting worse if I like tried to go on a long walk or something.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's summertime. I'm trying to stay active. I'm just trying to look trim, you know? But I really had to take like a month off from any like major exertion.
Physical exertion.
Yeah.
And that feels like...
It's hard to stop.
It's a little sneak peek. It's a little preview.
Little preview. I know. I'm getting a lot of teasers.
Of what's to come. Yeah.
What's coming down the pipeline.
It's like when they release like a 10 or 15 second clip from a movie. It's like, woo. They're just kind of showing me the whole thing before I even see it. Like... Oh, this is going to feel bad. I'm going to feel sad about this in 30 years.
Like, no spoilers. That's fine. Yeah, like, I don't need to see.
I'd rather go in cold.
I want to see it at the theater. You
to
know?
Old age, to elderliness in my 60s and 70s.
I know.
And yet, so we're getting there.
Yeah.
So there's a fragility in our bodies.
Yeah, we're feeling our age.
And things that we need to pick. And I'm feeling my age when I age 1 year for every mile that I run now. Thanks to you. I blame you somehow.
I'm not feeling it. You're
it's
seeing it.
Your fault. Wait, can I say something real? And then by the time this comes out, this won't be the case anymore. Sure. I do have an issue with my body right now.
Oh, no.
Can you notice what it is?
Can I notice what it is?
Mm-hmm. Do you notice anything about me currently that might be a little off? I want a real answer, which is like, this is such a trap.
Did you slip with your razor again on your beard?
I sure did. You got it dead on the money.
You know what's funny is like, I think I saw it, but I didn't register it until now.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was really looking at you and I was like, yeah, that's not matching the other side.
Nope. Look at this.
What happened? Kevin, that's a big one. That's two big chunks.
Wait, what do you mean two?
There's two. There's one here and there's one here.
One of them's just the way it is, and then one of them is one.
Oh,
that
it
I
is.
Did.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry. Okay.
No, it's okay. No, I'll think there's always a big chunk missing
and then
from
all
my beard.
Up here, right?
Oh no. Oh, Caroline, no, that's just my hairline. Oh no.
We all slip. Right at the widow's peak.
Right there.
Damn.
I was getting ready for a brunch. I got a little too excited, and I didn't check that the clipper was on.
Oh no.
And I'm glad I didn't go like
all the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would have taken you back to old Kevin.
Nope. I know.
Buried in a ditch.
I don't think I can go back to old Kevin at
this point. Baby-faced Kevin.
I don't think so.
Do you miss it? Like, do you wish you could shave your beard? Or do you like it?
Sometimes.
Why?
why?
Is it like itchy or something?
Not even that, but sometimes I look at fresh-faced men in my life and I think they're so handsome and it feels so, you know, nice. The cleanness is nice. And sometimes I do see people with beards. I'm like, that's a little iffy. Do I look like that?
Mm-hmm. So you're having a lot of comparison issues.
And isn't that the thief of joy, folks? Is comparison. Get back to that. But yeah, so I'm starting to think that I'm like, oh, maybe that safest is just like,
yeah,
whatever, and then go all the way out.
What do you want, though?
I just want people to not make fun of me.
I don't think anyone's making fun of you.
Well, not right now.
Right.
2 years ago, the queen of Christian pop said, I just thought you wanted to do that with your face.
You just went for it.
Yeah. It's kind of a tribute to her.
I think you could shave it if you want, if it feels good. And it seems like you can grow it really fast anyway, so if you change your mind.
He hasn't come out to play in over 3 years. Clean face Kevy.
Baby face Kev. Oh, baby face.
And
keep an eye out for him.
I think he's changed. Maybe. I think if you saw him, you'd be like,
I don't think so.
I look back on him. I'm like, he's like a little, is he trustworthy? Is he a rat? Is he a little fink? You know? Is he out for his own, you know?
There's something shifty about him.
Looking out for number one.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas current me, I'm about
community.
I'd
hand him the keys to my car.
Oh, yeah.
I said, can you keep an eye on this for a second?
Because he looks like a valet.
Hey. No disrespect to the valets.
If I put on a vest, they would like. I would just get Lexus key rings falling out of the sky. I don't know. It is something I'm legitimately a little bit touchy about. I wonder, because there will come a time where it's like, okay, maybe I should just try.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like, what if it grows back worse or different or bad?
It won't.
Something?
It'll grow back.
I don't know.
It'll grow back the way it's always grown.
Maybe. But then I just need to pick a month of time in which I don't see anybody, like anybody, like not even.
Why?
Not even Lil D.
We were
might
all
be
here
like,
before.
Who's that?
We're all here now. We'll
he's
be
only,
here after.
He's only known me as this. He wasn't here before. What if I shave and the love of my life says like, I don't know. I
all
think
of your smell was in the beard. I don't know who this guy is.
I think we need space. I just figured out things right now.
You can't blame this on Dexter.
No, I'm not blaming it.
You're
on
shaving
him.
His beard all the time.
Oh, I sure am.
You
no,
still
I'm
love
trimming
him.
It. That's different. I would never shave.
It was pretty beardy.
It was beardy back in the day, wasn't
it's
it?
It's a significant difference.
I know.
You
look so much better now.
And don't you love him?
I do.
With or without?
Yeah. I love him less with, though.
But there's no transitive property.
No.
Yeah.
But I got to figure this out. There's some sort of lesson in here about Samson.
There's
and
something there. Yeah. I'm not going to find out, though.
What? Will you give me money if I do it?
If you shave your beard? Will I give you money if you shave your beard?
Yeah. You're saying, like, that question's weird. Like, people don't ask that question all the time.
Well, it's not something I'm, like, dying for to happen.
That's such a funny premise. Please, will you please do it?
Kevin, come on. I'll give you $20, bro. You just finished the job, man, that you started. Yeah, I think you could shave it just to like.
So you say no. Okay, so no money.
I'll give you $20 if you shave your beard off.
Okay, great.
I will.
I'd shake your hand, but I'm afraid he'd bark at me for lunging so quickly.
Let's go very slow.
Okay. We have a deal.
His ear did perk up. He's
but,
like,
and his eyes look real big right now. Like,
he always wants his cut.
Keeping cool,
bro. And he deals on the table. All right. But only if you want to. You don't have to. Don't do it because you're trying to be someone you're not.
Yeah. Well, maybe all this facial hair is a little more than I can give. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back with good Christian fun.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there, and you know what? You can update it with an app, so every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. It's time for another edition of Singles Ministry. It's maybe the guy singing the song accidentally shaved part of his beard off, too.
It is kind of fun. It's always like, oh, is he going to come on stage this time? You know, is he still in the green room knocking one more cold one back?
Knocking one more cold one back. It's Singles Ministry, the part of the show where we take one single song and talk about for the entirety of the rest of the half of the rest of the episode. I did that one on purpose.
It's just podcasting.
So this is from Jennifer Knapp. Jennifer Knapp, who people may remember when we covered her many, many, many years ago. Do you remember when we did it or who we did it with? I'm sure you do.
Yeah.
It was with Simone McAlonen back in the beginning of 2020. Right before our golden period.
Right before our perfect streak.
With our friend Simone, yep. And it was January 29, 2020. Little did we know. And we talked about a lot of her songs. We talked about her album, Lay It Down, from which this song comes. But we were thinking about, there's a little more juice in that. We got a little more to do with her. Do you want to hit the post?
Yeah.
With this? Because I could do it perfectly because I know the song okay. But I want you to try to do it.
Well, happy Pride Month out there to all of you in the not church going to hell. Got one of your friends on the radio right now. I need to give you a little number. Perfect.
One of your little friends.
A Christian radio DJ that's hateful but still playing her song.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to play her songs all the time. We're not going to be happy about it. Turn.
Little more than I can give. Little more than
can't hurt a turd. Why do I keep hearing that?
Swedish chef.
I can't smorgyboard.
Birdie bird.
Lay it down. People who might remember Jennifer Knapp know her arc. You know, in the center of a lot of CCM culture, a very, I almost said reviled, but I mean the opposite of that. Someone who, a very celebrated singer-songwriter type, who even when they were doing the if you like, you must also like if you like Matchbox 20, you'll like Jars of Clay. They did do, if you like Melissa Etheridge, you'll probably like Jennifer Knapp.
Mm-hmm.
Because sonically, musically, vocally, so much like her. I also hear a little Natalie Merchant from 10,000 Maniacs.
There you go.
In her as well. She broke away from the mainstream of CCM, but then sort of has returned back in the recent years, the last 4 or so years. She is a Christian. She's still a Christian. She is an out, openly queer Christian who still does, who still performs even this song and a lot of this music from this from this time, even though she obviously does not align with, you know, the infrastructure that gave rise to her and gave rise to all of her music and her career back in the day. And it's not infrastructure that wants her at all, but she operates and exists kind of outside the fringes of it. She wrote a memoir back in 2014 that I read half of. And that's pretty good and like pretty well drawn about like her origin story and then navigating CCM music industry stuff. I do recommend people check that out.
What do you remember being like the takeaway from, or like the story she was trying to tell from the half of the book?
I think it was
the first half.
This is my story of like, I read half of a thing and I'm going to talk about her for 10 years now.
It's kind of a touchstone for me.
It was important to her, I think, to retain the Christianity. Like that part was important to like stand firm in and be like, no, I'm not going to be on the outside of this. I'm looking at like little things I highlighted from back in the day. Things like, you know, with God, I was learning that these experiences did not have to stay locked inside my head, eroding my spirit. I was learning new ways to survive. I was learning that I did not have to be captive to the grievous acts of others. And just talking about like childhood trauma and things like that. I might not be able to change my stepmother or my circumstance, but I was becoming aware that being alive is sometimes a conscious choice. No matter what I wanted to be there living. So it's like very much about resilience in the face of all this stuff. And even continuing to practice Christianity in the face of everything else is an act of profound resilience when it's like every other thing, it would be easier to drop and to do some other version of it. But now she's in good company with our friend Grace Simler Baldridge and other similar people.
So cool. Mm-hmm. Do you remember, I should have pulled this before we came, but do you remember, I feel like she had made comments too about like how the CCM industry responded to her after she came out and how she was kind of like, yeah, I knew they were going to do this, but I still believe and like this is a huge part of me. It was something to that effect, right? Am I making that up?
Well, she kind of decided to leave it before they could do it. So I think the music industry, it wasn't like, wait, you're gay? You're out. She's like, I'm quietly exiting. Because there was a 9-year gap in between her last CCM album. Right. And then her new indie stuff that's more aligned with her actual identity. So it wasn't like an acrimonious, like, no, you can't. It wasn't like Jars of Clay, Dan Hasseltine on a flight being like, I think gay people shouldn't get the, you know, executed for living. And then them being like, oh, all right, well,
you're out.
No more music for you on the radio.
Yeah. I think she's so inspiring for that too. And I think that like, any reaction you have as a queer person to being ostracized by the church is totally valid and they all make sense to me. And I think that it is also really special and unique. Like it makes absolute sense of like, this place has rejected me. I reject them. Like, why would I want to be a part of something that denies me my humanity? And my faith was bigger than this, you know, than this church I grew up in or whatever it may be. And I think it's also really interesting for the people that maybe in some ways go the other direction of like, no, I'm not going to let you take this from me. And in fact, I'm going to go deeper on this because like, this is my right. And I have put in the time and like, this is very real for me. And almost like the rejection can almost make you feel stronger in your own faith and like truer to you that, like, no, I really want this now that you tried to take it from me. Well, and I'm sure there's a lot more nuance than that, mm-hmm. but I think that's cool for her as well.
When there's, like, when there's a lack of structural incentive, too, that mm-hmm. is, like, a true testament to it.
Yeah.
For this song in particular, this is one that, in my memory, I'm sure we talked about this a couple years ago a little bit, but this was playing on the radio all the time. All the time when I was a kid in whatever, like, yeah, 11, 12, 13 years old, you couldn't go 2 days listening to 89.3 FM KSBJ in Houston, Texas, without them playing this version, or there was like a softer version of it without the electric guitars.
Oh.
That was like this, it was like a slightly different arrangement.
The acoustic arrangement, kind of.
Yeah, it was like a little more parentheses pussy version.
pussy edition.
Yeah. Kids bop.
Yeah.
A little more kids bop.
One's for, you know, behind the prayer time, and one's for when you're trying to get the tithes up.
That's right. And so I remember being struck by the sound of it, but the thing that's so striking now is the lyric writing.
Mm-hmm.
And just how truly it's such a magic trick to write music that is probably not unaligned with, obviously, the commercial and theological interests of the people around you and the structures of power around you and people in authority and gatekeepers like radio play and charts and blah, blah, blah. But it's such a magic trip to be able to do that in a way that has aged pretty well over the last 20 plus years, in which there's not really too much in here that we can do the, well, I don't know about this now. It feels like a little outdated, and like the sort of kind of snobbish retroactive lens that you can apply to a lot of this stuff. Yeah, like there's nothing that would make you bark or really howl at the moon about it. Oh, he looked at me like, oh, sorry, bro. Sorry, our producer's getting out of control tonight. I'm so sorry. And she did speak to it. There's a performance you can find on YouTube from a couple years back, from back in 2017, and she intros the song.
Well, I definitely think love has a lot to do with having grace in it. I think grace is just a nice way to say it. Like, it's a really, really good long word for all the things that you need to be forgiven for and then some. Forgetting the past, forgiveness, patience, and kindness, all in one nice little nifty word.
You turn your eyes from on the switch.
Flawless transition.
Incredible.
Isn't that nice?
It's so hard to play and then, like, freestyle talk about something at the same time, right?
Wait, how do you mean?
I just feel like I'm always impressed if people can, like, play the chords of their guitar or piano. Even what you do, like when we do 30 Seconds to Heaven, please subscribe to Patreon.
Wait, we're changing it to 30 seconds?
Wait, oh God.
30 minutes to
30 minutes to heaven, subscribe on Patreon. So you're Kevin on the keys. But it's just impressive to just, like, be kind of talking and, like, having a thought process and, like, your arms are on autopilot. That's just difficult.
That's why worship leaders are the most elite class of human beings on the planet. What's that?
That's why I married one.
That is why you married one. You mm-hmm. were like, who is that?
I need that talent.
He's talking
my hands
while playing?
So I thought that was a nice little cue up. I've heard a lot of different definitions of grace over the years.
Let's talk about it.
What that word could mean.
I've certainly heard the Haley Atwell definition of it.
Oh, Mission Impossible.
Mission Impossible 7, yes. Dead Reckoning, Part 1. But yeah, because this is, and we actually have not talked about it too much in my memory on the show.
About grace?
Not really.
A little bit, I think. Yeah. What was it? God's riches at Christ's expense.
Wait, oh, there's an acrostic for
yeah,
it?
Yeah, which yeah. still is like, I don't know, that doesn't mean much. I think that's just like, be a lot of different words. Salvation,
God's riches at Christ's expense.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I don't know if I'd ever seen that.
Oh, really?
Uh huh.
That's how I remembered it. A lot of people said that to me. I was like, okay,
God's riches at Christ's expense. So it makes it sound like, hey, don't worry, God's gonna give you a big meal. I guess who's stuck with the check? That's what it that sounds
charge
like.
It to the company. Yeah, I mean, what was like Because I feel like it could be interchanged with a lot of different concepts of like forgiveness, reconciliation, what's the word?
Repentance, sin, restitution.
Restitution. Anyway, yeah, a lot of those things, salvation, sacrifice, or whatever, mm-hmm. it's kind of like wrapped up in a lot of things. And I feel like it kind of always meant something different depending on who was talking about it.
Yeah.
What about you?
Well, the thing, and this is what the song's getting into, is my basic understanding and definition of it from the time in which I gave a shit to define it was the idea of like, it's a love you can't earn. So it's a love that kind of exists out of the realm of reciprocity. But then, like, you get Tim Keller brain or the systematic theology shit of like, so it exists, and but you should do all this shit because it does. And
love defined on its own can have that definition mm-hmm. of like, you know, care that you don't deserve or whatever. Like, God's love certainly doesn't need to be qualified like that.
Yeah. So I don't know if maybe I don't care about like the theologically correct version or definition of it. I don't know if people would say it's a genre of love mm-hmm. or it's like the kind of love that isn't compelled of like, you're getting something out of this, I'm getting something out of it. But just the idea of kind of what Knapp says in that video where she says it is a catch-all. It's a catch-all for forgiveness. It's a catch-all for things that you get that you don't earn and things that aren't just like cause effect. It's almost like effect without cause in some cases.
Right.
Like the grace of a parent's love for their kid in the best case scenario mm-hmm. where it's like, it's not like the kid's just so stellar that they get the love, you know,
right.
But it just kind of exists on its own. And most of the way that definition was applied was towards the idea of, because you suck so bad and you continue to sin and everything to the core of your DNA is pretty crooked. Isn't it nice that God has grace for you and that none of that matters because you'll never be able to earn it. You'll never be able to pay it back. And you can't because you suck so bad.
Yeah, like the definition of grace, like love that is unconditional or something. Like, to me, it always implied that actually you're almost actively working against getting that love, and that's mm-hmm. where grace comes in, you know, because it's like it's completely undeserved or something like that,
mm-hmm.
Which sucks. And also, I'm like, that sounds. I mean, you could stretch the definition of mercy in that way too.
Totally.
Like, they always seem very tied to me, but people would get really hung up on like grace in particular and everything.
You think in a way that's annoying?
I think because it was so elastic in its definition, it was like a good one if people really wanted to expound on God's love or something and needed like a fresh take on it.
It's like Love Remix, like Love Reboot.
Love Remix is grace.
It's like grace?
Yeah.
Do you think it was a season or flavor for a time in the way that people talked about these things and it's fallen out of fashion, or have we fallen out of fashion with connecting with that idea?
We have definitely fallen out of fashion in general. Well, and also, like, we're so pretty much disconnected from, like, mainstream evangelical megachurch-style church language.
Yeah.
That we are no longer the experts. We are the only experts in the past at this point.
I can tell you what the mainstream of what the lefties are doing now.
Exactly.
Of, like...
It's like, who cares about that?
Yeah. And the mainstream is, they're talking about it's okay to jack it all you want.
Guys, man. If you were waiting to go into a progressive church.
Here we go. I tweeted the meme. You. I tweeted the meme about jacking off.
Which one?
When my deconstructed friend tells me it's okay to jack off.
It tested well with your friends.
It's balls time.
It's balls time.
And the way that grace is conceived in this song, a little more, because that is the titular, a little more what? A little more than I can give, a little more than I deserve. Unearth this holiness I can't earn, a little more than I can give. Which is like such a lovely idea that hopefully we would all aspire to in some capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Let me bring it back. to the earlier conversation of those wedding vows from a friend of mine. And their love story was that he was so into her before she was into him. And part of their vows were, you loved me first, but I love you more. And I'm going to show you that for the rest of my life. Is that unbelievable? And that's kind of the idea of the song too. It's like, in a way where it's not like predicated on function or compulsion or reciprocity or this equals that. Sweet guy. Like, I got to have a lot of grace for my dog right now. And my love for him is not based on how much he's barking or not. Dex!
A little more than I deserve?
Just give me one more, buddy. Almost done.
Just one more. Just one more bark. That's all I need. That's all I need.
What a louder podcast this has become.
Mm-hmm.
With his inclusion in it, yeah.
We have sound effects now. Just
We sure do.
Just one kind. Yeah, I mean, I think it can be sweet. And I was also feeling like this song and the lyrics are so drenched in a lot of shame as well, and a lot of like, and I am a worm kind of song, and a little bit like, oh, just how much I don't deserve it.
The bridge
much
is
I
like
don't
that.
Do anything that I'm doing all the wrong things and all of that. And yes, it's like definitely a song maybe about picking up the pieces after that, but it's a song that's very aware of your failures as well, and like, I think feels like it needs to keep talking about them in order to feel qualified for the grace it's getting, you know? And so there is sometimes a reciprocity with grace in Christians' minds. It's not explicit, but it is like, oh, but in order to really feel the grace and let it wash over me, first I must like do a full confession and like really knock it into my skull, like, how much I've fucked up, you know?
That's fair. Yeah, I see that streak and that color a lot in the song. And I think anytime you're quoting the Apostle Paul, you're going to get into territory where I'm like, in verse 2, what I do, I don't want to do. And so goes the story. And the whole verse of like, I want to do the thing I don't do and the thing I want to do and blah, blah, blah. With all this motivation, I still find a hesitation deep in my soul. Despite all my demanding, I still find you understanding. Even though I suck, you're good. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, it reminds me of like, and we've talked about this before, but like, you know, a codependent and a gaslighter relationship where it's like, yeah, you're so right. I am always fucking up. And like, you are so right. I don't know what to do. And like, I'm so glad you're the perfect one here, you know, which maybe I'm projecting a little bit too much, but just, you know,
I get what you mean.
I hid my face from the saints and angels, you know, though my weakness shines. And it's like, it almost, if I were listening to this back then, it would be inconceivable to me for the writer or the singer of this song, the person in this song, to say like, and I deserve this grace, or to say, but I'm allowed to make these mistakes, you know, or like, I'm figuring it out, or any other qualifier that would like, I don't know, make room for your error being like in some way understandable or permissible, you know?
Yeah. But then I wonder if the idea is that I do deserve and earn this, is it called a different thing at that point? Is it just called love?
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is it only like the technicality of if you don't deserve it, you know?
Right.
Which I guess is mercy to a large degree.
I guess that, yeah, that like that colors then every kind of love you get in Christianity, basically, because if your baseline is always I don't deserve it, it's none of it is really an even exchange, you know? I guess that's the point.
But then, see, and we can do it from just the American lens of zooming out of like, do you deserve the life that you have and the privileges afforded tangibly and materially to, but so it's like, so even that and not having the choice of being born where you were, to the family that you were, the place and time that you were, is that grace?
Yeah.
Or is that just kismet? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
When you contextualize it globally, I guess. Like, and it is just technicalities and stuff that we're talking about now.
Yeah.
Because the core of the idea of what you're saying is like, this is a song of a woman being like, I've lived a dastardly day.
yeah.
Oh, Daniel Powder, you had a bad day? Buddy, I had a dastardly day.
Yeah, and I think you should be able to cop to doing bad stuff or things that are harmful to yourself and others. Mm-hmm. I don't think you always have to be like, well, I didn't cause harm because I'm good, you know, or whatever. That doesn't happen. I guess not denial. I guess what I want is like, I wish there were songs about grace and receiving the love that didn't have to start with you at like square negative five, you know, and talking
that's a great
about
point.
That, you know?
Yeah.
Or that at least like, I don't know, like had the main person standing with dignity first when they received the grace and not just like, oh God, you know, like here I am again. Thanks. Sorry about that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I think the paradoxical concern here is that we want to feel identity in the sense of like, oh, I have value and so I deserve love. I deserve respect, joy. These things are not things I've disqualified myself from. There's an inherent dignity to my humanity that makes me feel in a certain way that these things are mine to have. But then there are times, and hopefully it's not every day or consistently, where you do want grace. So how do you express it? Like maybe is the like healthier way, so you don't get into chest beating worm mode, to talk about it in a way where it just kind of inspires an abundance of gratitude.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It's gratitude, and maybe it's like a, through that gratitude, like a commitment to keep improving for yourself, for everyone, and to enjoy life, you know, further.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way, if this was how you receive love in your life is always like, well, shucks, I don't deserve it. Thanks so much. You know, so sorry about
that.
Yeah,
it feels heavier.
That feels like that doesn't actually push you to progress and to abundance and to a life in the light, you know?
Yeah. I'm really not standing by anything I said at the beginning of this conversation.
No, I'm sorry. I know. But
for real, just by like really.
There are ways you could read this song too as very hopeful and quite lovely too, mm-hmm. you know?
I just love the poetry of it too. The angst mm-hmm. of it is totally. Something that, again, 12-year-old me, I was like, oh yeah.
Unearth this yeah. holiness. It's really beautifully written. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I adore the sound of it. There's something about
so good.
The texture of her voice and something about the melody that is so like, it doesn't feel dour. It feels resilient and sort of mm-hmm. defiant, even though that is kind of at odds lyrically with what's going on.
Yeah.
If it was more minor and more just like, like it would feel even more debilitating or discouraging, but it's not in the way that I listen to it. Show me grace,
Beautiful.
Know.
There was I watched the music video for this, which there's not a lot there. We don't need to watch it or anything, but like the music video is kind of her like walking through grimy places and cities and forests that are very dark, and then these really bright flowers appear, and she slowly over the course of the video like kind of builds a bouquet.
And she's in Wonderland.
She's in Wonderland. And I think she's a child at some point, kind of going back and forth. Mm-hmm. And so maybe I should read more into that too, of like, I think that was also kind of how she must have envisioned grace felt, of like, man, things are really hopeless right now, and like maybe I don't feel so good about myself or whatever, but like this really bright spot of love came through to me, and like I'm going to just start collecting that until that is more present in my life, and that's what I'm seeing mostly, you know, and that's how God felt to her.
That's gorgeous. Yeah. That's a gorgeous analysis of the music video that is complimentary to what's in the text.
Yeah, I think so.
Of the song, so it doesn't feel so. You do have to contextualize it with a woman who was probably in the closet at the time.
That's what
well.
I was thinking too. I was like, God, I would hate if this were about her being attracted to someone, you know, or like even dating someone or something and having to apologize to God for that.
Mm-hmm.
How stupid would that be?
That said, I do, Yeah, when, because now I'm thinking in my day-to-day life, are there times consistently, not when it's like, oops, I did goof and I made a mistake or did something hurtful or harmful, show me grace, but just in day-to-day, like, basic function of being alive, are there times where I'm like, show me grace? Because then the rest of it is just like, well, show me dignity and respect and kindness, of course. But you're right. Maybe grace is like almost shame loaded in a way. Mm-hmm. You need grace for the times you need it, but maybe it's not a default way to live. If you are thinking of yourself as having inherent value and worth,
yeah,
that doesn't need to be defined by Christ's sacrifice, whatever that stupid acrostic was, where it's like, oh, our life is defined by grace because we don't deserve to be alive or whatever, you know.
Right, yeah,
like that sort of thing. Because it does get there where it's like,
yeah,
hey, you've been pardoned. You were on death
you
row.
You should be dead.
You should literally be dead. You were
bat
dead.
On.
And not even like, it's not even a leap or like an extreme sort of analogy to draw. It's like it's the wages of sin is death. That's what the whole image is. So redefining that so you're not just like on borrowed time, but you are on time that isn't owed to you. I don't mean to trip out about this too much.
Yeah, I guess it's like...
Because it's like, tomorrow's not promised, blah, blah, blah. That's true. So then is that grace? You know, I feel like I'm in the dorm room right now. Is that grace?
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking about like, you know, if you've like ever hurt a friend's feelings and then you have that conversation with them.
Can't relate.
I can't relate either, but I imagine it would go something like, the best response you have to that is not you underlining over and over to that friend of like, I really don't deserve to be your friend. You're being so nice to even hang out with me anymore. Mm-hmm. That's not what they want. You know, like you do need to define, okay, I hurt your feelings saying this, that was careless or that was malicious or whatever. The best thing you can do then is like, thank you for, you know, sticking with me and like, I'm going to commit to doing this or I'm going to do better on that, you know?
100%.
That's like, has dignity and that's actually like a constructive result of receiving grace from that friend, you know, rather than like staying in shame to prove to the friend that you know they're being nice to you, you know?
I know.
Yeah. Like that's not good for anybody. And then it creates this kind of weird lopsided dynamic, you know?
Right. And I think it's fair to compare all this to friendship dynamics. I think it's fair. Like the Christ stuff, the God stuff.
Yeah.
Even because if we're going to fucking run with, it's not religion, it's relationship. It's like, okay, bro, it's a relationship. So then this and this and this and this.
Yeah, and also like you owe me something too.
Yeah.
And I'm not worthless, you know. I'm bringing something to the table, God. I've got that certain joie de vivre.
Yeah. Hey, God, I got something to say. I got a little something, something. We have a segment where we listen to covers called Cover Me. Do you want to hear my favorite version of that song by Bruce Springsteen? It's from the 2013 performance.
Oh, my God. I didn't want to ask, but I was dying to hear it.
I mean, listen, there's a lot of... there's going to be a lot of nices on this one.
Nice.
There's way fewer than I thought there would be.
That's interesting because this is a popular song.
And that's all I'll play of that.
Beautiful.
And she's getting a nice.
One for one send up. Can I, before you move on.
Yeah.
I thought when I first started listening to this, I was like, I feel like this is a cover of a Third Day song. That's the sound I'm getting from it.
Oh, that's interesting.
I don't
know
why I'm hearing it in Mac's voice. First, did they ever sing it?
No, they but should. they have a similar tone. They truly have a like Counting Crows chord, Hootie and the Blowfish a little bit. Yeah, absolutely. Right. As was the fashion at the time.
Hootie and the Blowme.
I love YouTube videos from pre like 2011,
ancient
2010
times.
Yeah, she's getting a nice. There is nothing outstanding here. I just wanted to give a few nices out before we go. Anything else to say about the song?
Yeah, I really like her voice. I really like the sound of it a lot. It's very moving.
I thought so too.
The way the song moves.
There's beautiful. Like an understated theatrics to it.
Yeah.
Like
an
A24 film. All right, we're going to give it a roast or toast. Roast or toast. Toast, we send it to heaven. Heaven bound. Roast is... And Purgatory is... The space between... What do we think?
It's a toast for me.
I think it's a toast.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a great songwriter. I'm glad she's still going, took the time she needed.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, what a trailblazer too. Thank you, Jennifer Knapp, for doing what you did.
Let's have her on the show.
Yeah.
I have to toast to myself as well. There's nothing else I would say about it. Other than, yeah, you really did highlight, like, oh yeah, she's in a bad spot.
I know, it tricks you, though, because it sounds so hopeful.
Little more than I can get.
Yeah.
We call this the, well, no, I won't get into it. The Born in the USA effect. Anyway, blah, 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 blah. I can't. You just laughed like Fozzie Bear. All right, we're dimming the lights in here. We're lighting the candles. We're not here to promote ourselves or our projects. We're here to lift them up to the Lord. Caroline, what you got?
Promoting myself, my worldly self, over on Threads. You know what it is. It's Caroline's Farts.
You're prolific on Threads.
I'm not prolific. I've done 4 tweets.
Well, what was the last one? Was it like, colon pal?
What?
I don't know.
Just me saying colon pal?
Yeah. Colon pal makes my colon
should
al.
I do that?
Yeah.
That's
he
funny.
Makes my
no,
butt hurt.
That's going to be your first thread. I hope you
yeah.
kick it off soon. No, my last one was that the entity is a Swiftie.
That's funny.
Anyway, yeah, you can look me up there. And then I'm going to lift up another chapter in a perfect movie series, Book Club. Book Club, the next chapter. They go to Italy. It's 80 meets Brady. It's abroad.
It's 80 meets Brady.
It's 80 meets Brady meets pasta. They are always meeting very nice, distinguished gentlemen who are very polite to them and always got the hots for them. It's fantastic.
Okay, I didn't do this. I'm so sorry I didn't do this now.
But
as soon as I saw it on Peacock, I was like, I have to take a picture of my TV with like a bottle of lotion and a box of tissues in front of it. I'm ready.
Let's go, girls. They look great. They look great. I love that Jane Fonda, her whole thing is just like she's the horny one now.
Oh, yeah.
She's like the hot one and the horny one. I'm like, good for you, girl.
Well, she's been horny for generations now. At
is
this
that
point.
So?
Well, Barbarella was a little sex symbol back in the 60s or 70s or whenever it came out.
Yeah.
Sure. Clute. Who could forget Clute?
Clute. I need to see Monster-in-Law. I want to see if she was putting that out there.
I'm saying these like genre-defining films and you're like...
And I am too.
Monster-in-Law.
I just feel like the recent like decade, that's been her whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And fire extinguishers. Where's my fire extinguisher?
Where's my fire extinguisher?
To an improv show where she kept saying, where's my fire extinguisher?
It was the prompt,
it
to
was.
Be fair.
Yeah, but it was a misunderstanding of like, no, you don't have to say that every
time. It's not like the secret phrase.
Time. Yeah, it's how you get out of the scene.
Kevin, when are we going to see you on Threads?
It's not going to happen.
When are we going to hear you lift it up?
Threads is where I draw the line. You
find what? Me don't draw sky. The line there.
Blue sky.
Okay.
I got to be an influencer on the other ones before I graduate and go to Threads.
That's fine. You don't need to line Zuckerberg's pockets with any more of your time.
Lift me up at Kevin T. Porter everywhere, Peloton, Letterboxd, Instagram, OnlyFans, and you can fucking, the thing I'll lift up, you can fucking chuck it, blah, blah, blah. I'll lift up a movie I saw, like a 40-year-old movie I saw last night. I was howling at it. A movie called Top Secret. Which is, have you seen Top Secret or heard of it?
Like one of those spoof movies?
Yes, but it's okay. So...
Like a Leslie Nielsen movie? Nelson?
Yeah.
Nielsen.
Starring Val Kilmer as a sort of Elvis Presley type.
Great.
And so it's a war movie starring Val Kilmer, and he sings Tutti Frutti and things
I'm
like that.
I'm sorry to correct you, but you mean an identical type, right?
And a Blake Rayne type.
A Blake Rayne kind of esque character.
Type. The movie starts with a musical number called Skeetin' in the USA. Skeet Surfin' It's all these teens go out on their surfboards with huge guns and shoot ski. I'm not doing it justice, but it's one of the good ones.
It was so a good time.
Everyone should watch that. Silliness like that, or like Top Gun, like Young Frankenstein, or Blazing Saddles, and Spaceballs, and Airplane, obviously. That stuff is so broad, it's aged so well.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's just like, this will always be stupid. Do you know what I mean? Where it's like,
it never pretended to be anything more.
I agree.
Kevin looked at his Apple Watch and went to a different plane. You came back a different guy.
I did.
What happened?
I'm sorry.
What did you see?
I'm so sorry.
Did someone die?
No, I think the opposite. But it was in all caps.
Oh, gosh.
So everyone's,
emergency.
Everyone's having a good summer, I think. You can lift us up at Christian Fun Pod everywhere. Yeah. Go to patreon.com/goodchristianfun for more good Christian fun. And leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Every review you leave, we donate $1 to the entity. I mean, the charity.
Charity.
We donate it to charity. The entity has
this
to do with
an entity
a
podcast.
Fundraiser.
This isn't the entity using AI to sound like us having a conversation.
No, this is me, Kevin.
Upload your fingerprints. It's fun.
And there's nothing left to say. We did it. Except for...
Did it, gang. Okay.
I love
you. Love you, Emma.
Emma.
Amen.
Amen.
Now
watch this
drive.
One of our most in sync sign-offs we've ever done.
And we'll
Yeah. All right, we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.